where a nerd is about to speak.
You're listening to Jump the Shark, a pop culture podcast. I'm your host, Will, and with me as always is John.
Follow Will on Twitter at TheUnheardNerd. Visit ukfilmnerd.wordpress.com and follow John on Twitter at ukfilmnerd.
Enjoy the show. Enjoy the show. Okay, good. We can start. Hello, John. I've started. That was me starting.
He started. Oh, okay.
That was me starting. Because as I said, we don't have to do an introduction anymore because I recorded
one. No, we don't. Okay.
That says never visit
start.
Your website.
Good start to the start.
Hello, John. Fuck's sake. Jesus, how hard is it to start a podcast? John, I'm speaking to you via the medium of the internet. How are you?
I'm very good, Will. How are you?
I get the feeling you're still not sure if we started or not.
No, we have started.
We've definitely started. All of that is staying in.
That's fine. Next time, just wave a little flag that says podcast starting on it or something.
I mean, I thought the clue was saying hello, but apparently not. I mean, we've been talking for 10 minutes already and suddenly say hello 10 minutes into the conversation. It can become weird. How are you doing? You all right? Had a good week?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good. Nice week off with the fam.
Yeah, at home with the fam. Ups and downs. You?
Always ups and downs. Yeah, not bad. Been working on my decking in the garden. Quite proud of that. I would say a bit dark and yeah, it'd be boring. But yes, I've been grafting away building decking in our garden because we've had gravel. This is Welcome to Gardener's World, the podcast.
Yes.
We've had gravel in our garden for a long, long time. Basically, the people we bought the house off, I think they cleared the garden and they just buried it all at the top of the garden and then just covered it with gravel. And that was it. That was just like this. So I've been trying to dig post holes. And I found bricks and bits of rock and all sorts of stuff like buried under the top of the garden. But I had to get rid of the gravel because the cats treated it as a huge litter tray and it's just not very nice.
I have that very same problem.
They're using it as a litter tray.
Yeah, I recently, I technically have a front garden, but it's basically a space to put the wheelie bins.
Mm.
But there's some large patio slabs. I vaguely remember rearranging to try and fill up the garden space. And the mud areas that were left were just overgrown. And a couple of weekends ago, I was like, I'm going to pull up the weeds. Except it turned into, I'm going to pull up the weeds and then clean up and then put down weed suppressant material and then get some gravel to put on top of it to make it look nice. So that's the whole Sunday taken up. And so far, I think I've had a fox poo and a cat poo in it.
Mm. Well,
I look at the gravel and go, yes, new toilet, nice one.
I think I did comment on your post about it. I didn't want to put a downer on it, but I was like, I'm getting rid of my gravel because geez, the cat's just shitting it all the time. But yeah, so I pulled there was weed suppressant under the gravel, as you're supposed to do, as you quite rightly say. Yeah. Continuing our middle-aged discussion on gardening. And so I pulled up the weed suppressor. So I could get to the what I thought was soil, and obviously the blend of bricks and rubble and what have you that they, and I'm sure they just sprinkled cement dust over the top and watered it and just made a hard surface. Oh, it's been a nightmare digging the holes. But I pulled it all back with the gravel and laid it on top of the gravel, thinking, right, that'll deter. No, one of my cats is so stupid. He was like, well, this is where I always shit. So he just shat on the, on the weed suppressor. On the, it's like a cloth.
Oh,
so, nice one, thanks a lot, dickhead.
Thanks, cat.
So anyway, yeah, there we go. That's the gardening section done. Let's move on. But yeah, no, I should be done. I should be done with my decking by the end of this weekend. It's Wednesday now as we record, and get you down, Jim. Back, like it, nice start.
That's right.
Showing off your sexy new legs as well.
Sexy new legs.
Yeah. I see you walking miles. that was a bit worrying, actually. How turned on I got by. My slipper fell off as well. Yeah. Hang on. Let me just put my slipper back on. It fell off. Yeah, so I should be done with the decking this weekend, and then I can just sit back and lounge for the 2 weeks of summer we get every year.
Hey.
I don't know what month that will be in because who knows? April showers? Nah, it was the driest April for hundreds of years this year. Global warming for the win.
I don't know if you saw one of the Daily Star was celebrating the fact we're going to have a heat wave with the hottest day ever.
Great, so we can all die from heat stroke.
The thing was, like, exactly what I saw it on Twitter. So it's a tweet made of two images. One was the front page of the Daily Star saying, hottest heat wave ever, we're going to experience 27 plus degrees. And the other picture was Leonardo DiCaprio and thingy from that climate movie, like looking at a paper with like confused faces.
Did you ever watch that film?
I never got around to watching it yet, no.
Don't Look Up, wasn't it? I think it was called something like that. We started watching it, got about halfway through because I saw quite a few people on my Facebook feed and with no malice, mostly people from the States, saying it was amazing, it was really good and funny and everything. And we got, I don't know, maybe half an hour into it thinking, when's the comedy starting? it's just not funny. I think it might be American humor.
I hate having a build up from other people. And you sit and watch something, and you go, when's this going to be good? Because I'm really disappointed right now.
Yeah, it's a shame. But so, yeah, that still sits on, I think there's a way of removing it now on Netflix, but I think it still sits on my continue watching. No, no, thank you. I'll pass.
That's how I annoy my wife. I used her account for Prime to see what was free in 4K films on Prime. Because I noticed Speed was in 4K and something else, and she's like, "You stop doing that." I'm like, "Why?" She goes, "All these films are now in my continue watching list. You're ruining it."
You can have your own profile in Prime now.
Yeah, I had set my own, but for some reason I clicked on her name instead. Wasn't too happy. I was filling up her list of all my films.
My wife's list will be all stuff that I've bookmarked before I was able to get my own user on it, because she pays for Prime and I pay for Netflix and Disney, and it sort of evens up. But you know, everybody's got their own profile on Netflix and Disney, but obviously you couldn't do that on Prime to start with, so I just filled her watch list up with all the crap I watch, so she must have a lovely viewing experience there. But talking of viewing, we finished our Marvel marathon. Finally, we watched last three movies. Timeline order. So the not the release date, but the dates that events happen within the movies. But I don't know if we watched the last three in the right order, because we just watched them as they were released, and we'll continue to do so now as they hit the cinema. So I don't know if you're up to date now with all the Marvel movies. Have you seen them all?
We haven't seen Eternals.
Okay, good. Don't bother.
That's what I've been hearing, yeah.
So, we watched Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, much more than I was led to believe. A lot of people...
Not expecting it to be that entertaining.
Exactly. A lot of people...
And the surprise return of a character from Iron Man 3 that I really wasn't expecting as well. That was really funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no spoilers, but yeah, Trevor.
No.
But no, it was good, and I think for me it was Awkwafina, the character, I can't remember her name, Katie in the film, I think, sort of like the main character's buddy. She really made it for me. I thought she was really, really funny, and I've sort of. Yeah, I've mentioned Awkwafina, however you say, supposed to say it, a few times over the years on the podcast, because I did review a documentary with her in years and years and years ago about how Asian rappers, because she's originally a musician, struggled to make it in the music industry, and so that's where I became familiar with her, and now she's everywhere. She's in so much stuff. I mean, she was in that. Oh God, what was that program we saw? We saw one at Comic Con, the preview, Future Man, was it?
Future Man. Yeah.
Future Man. So she's in that. She's worked behind the counter in the game store.
Yeah, she's only in the first episode, I think. Yeah.
I think, I don't know. I didn't watch too many of them. And then like she's been in like some really big films. I think she was in the female reboot of, was it Ocean's 11 or Ocean's, I don't know which number they gave it, but
I know what you mean.
You know that, yeah, she was in that. So she, her career has really taken off. She's had her own series as well, something from Queens. I can't remember what the name is in that. But no, she really made it for me. I thought that was a really fun movie, far better than I was led to believe from the reviews or comments that I've read about it. So I really enjoyed Shang-Chi, but I'm calling these movies, like these ones in between, so Endgame and, well, not really Endgame, so Spider-Man Far From Home and Spider-Man No Way Home, the movies in between, I'm sort of, they're like the lost movies in a way. They're the ones that came out during the pandemic that a lot of people didn't even bother going to see or haven't seen. Like ourselves, we didn't see them until they're on Disney. So yeah, that was really fun. Eternals, in my notes I've put Externals for some reason. I only just noticed that. Yeah, really, really
superheroes, but only when they're outside.
Yeah, it's like watching. It's like if DC made a Marvel movie. Just a bit bland, you know, a little bit dark and a little bit boring. So yeah, a DC Marvel movie. And then we watched No Way Home, Spider-Man, and I have to say I didn't really like Spider-Man the first, like Homecoming, when I first watched it, and I actually didn't like Far From Home when I watched that. I think I watched it at the cinema. I really didn't actually enjoy it very much, the second Spider-Man film. But since subsequently watching them with my kids and almost vicariously through their eyes, I've enjoyed it a lot more. Like just, you know, they've laughed and really like related to it in a way that I wouldn't have if I wasn't with them. So yeah. I've really enjoyed those three films now. Spider-Man No Way Home, I thought was fantastic. And I loved the way they brought all the three Spider-Man versions together. And the fact that they're a little bit older and they've got backache, and I could completely relate to that. Completely.
Oh, the conversation about organic web shooting.
Yeah, exactly. It's really funny. I thought they did it really, really well, and it was cool seeing all the characters that from the previous movies, like the villains, getting that, because obviously my kids and my wife they haven't probably seen the other Spider-Man films that or don't recall them, so that was really nice for me. And I loved seeing Matt Murdock in it as well, like you know, the Charlie Cox character right at the beginning.
Yeah, so
that was good for me. I was chuckling away and everyone was looking at me like, what, Daredevil?
Would have been a nice surprise if it wasn't for Twitter, but yeah.
I knew about everything in it, but it didn't change the enjoyment for me. I still enjoyed it. I thought,
oh really, yeah, so fun,
really good fun. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. And so now we're up to date. We're going to go and see Doctor Strange, I think, at the cinema maybe this weekend.
Oh, right.
And the Multiverse of Madness. I think Benedict Cumberbatch's American accent has improved from the first Doctor Strange film, where it was abysmal.
Take a long time to get used to.
Either I've grown a tolerance to it, or he's got better. Yeah. I'm not sure which it is. But do you plan to go and see that? Are you going to go and see that, or are you going to wait till it's streaming?
I think I'll wait till it's streaming. Mm. I think I'm just a bit saturated by Marvel at the minute, because we're just so there's so much to catch up on. I don't know if we will, because we haven't watched Hawkeye. I haven't watched Moon Knight. I haven't watched Eternals.
Mm.
Looking at the timeline, there's what, another three films this year? Two?
I think we'll
definitely see Thor, because it's Mrs. and Chris Hemsworth, so we have to. She's not impressed that Natalie Portman becomes Thor.
She becomes a Thor. Maybe not.
Are they going to be Thors together then? Is it?
Well, I don't know if it'll follow the comic book arc that I've read. What's her name? It's Jane Foster, isn't it?
That's it, yeah, yeah.
She becomes Thor for a time, the only Thor, because Thor has become unworthy. And then I think they both possibly end up as Thors. I mean, I don't know, both being worthy anyway. I can't remember how it played out. I've still got the comic books. I've got their whole arc I could read through, but it's probably not worth it.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the whole multiverse thing, it's entirely possible that she's just Thor from another multiverse, right?
Oh, yeah, could be.
Or another dimension or whatever. So, yeah, that's a possibility. So I stopped watching Hawkeye so that we can watch it with the family.
Yeah.
I started watching Moon Knight, got about 3 episodes in, and now I've gone back and started watching it with the family. So we've watched two episodes now together. And my youngest has watched all of Falcon and Winter Soldier because apparently she doesn't like herself very much. I don't know. She decided to punish herself with that. Because it's not very good, is it?
It's okay. It's not amazing.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I got about 3 episodes in and gave up. Just couldn't enjoy it. But yeah, she's...
What happened to it, to be honest?
Yeah. Well, she's blitzed it anyway. She's gone through it.
Yeah.
But that's cool. That's the Marvel thing. Sticking with Disney, I guess we've got Obi-Wan coming out this month.
Yes, May 27th.
Yeah, just a day before my birthday. Gonna keep plugging that. I mean, not that this show will be out. Show probably won't be out before my birthday, but yeah, no, it might be. I don't know. How many weeks is it? Where are we? Let's check the calendar.
2?
So it's Wednesday. Yeah, so theoretically, I should have this out by the 25th of May. If form, at which point we'll be recording another podcast.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. You're a lot more enthusiastic this time than you were in the last show. Obi-Wan, I mean, I watched the trailer. Did you watch it?
I have seen the trailers, yes.
Hmm.
I think it certainly looks more interesting than Boba Fett.
Boba Fett was weird because it just sort of turned into The Mandalorian.
Yeah, it's like Boba Fett, the retirement years.
Yeah.
And then the second half was like, I'm bored. Let's see what The Mandalorian's up to at this point. It's like, really?
It's like they should have just changed the opening sequence to The Mandalorian and just been done with it. Boba Fett, I didn't really get engaged with it too well. I found it a little bit boring, if I'm honest. The Mandalorian stuff was pretty cool, but the actual Boba Fett stuff, I thought it was like crowbarring sort of more into that story than needed to be. I was quite happy with him being dead in the Sarlacc pit and never appearing again, honestly, personally. So yeah, that's coming out. Quite looking forward to Obi-Wan. That should be fun. Not my favorite character from the Star Wars universe. And I worry a bit that like Marvel saturation might be getting a bit of Star Wars saturation now as well. I don't know.
Possibly. Although fun, I mean, there's a bit in the trailer when they're in a kind of futuristic city of Star Wars. It's like a city that's all lit up by neon signs and stuff.
Yeah.
Which reminded me, if you go on YouTube and look for, it was called Star Wars Underground. It was basically a sort of 10-15 minute test for a live action Star Wars film.
Mm.
Where much like they did what they do now, the backgrounds were all CG generated in real time and blended with the live action in real time.
Wow.
And it's quite an impressive little bit of Star Wars to watch technically, but from a 3 point of view, it's ridiculous because they go to a very small shop and they're shooting each other from 2-3 meters apart and no one's hitting anyone.
Oh dear. I do remember you writing about that actually and looking at it on the website.
Stormtroopers living up to their name kind of.
I think there was the episode, I can't remember, was it The Mandalorian, or I think it must have been The Mandalorian, that Taika Waititi, whatever his name is, directed, and he had the two sort of speeder riders, like the Imperial.
Oh yeah, trying to shoot that tin can.
And they were really funny. if ever there needs to be a spin-off show, that's it. Those guys. I watched an hour of those. That would be perfect.
That was a fantastic opening to the episode. I remember that one. Me and my wife were in stitches.
Very good. Very good. What else is that? Sonic 2.
I'd like to see that.
I would like to see that. Again, I promised my youngest that we'd go and watch that because we really enjoyed the first one together.
It was surprisingly enjoying it all.
Making up words. it was enjoyable. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. So yeah, I'd like to see Sonic 2, and I think it's apparently it's got good reviews as well. It seems to be well received. So I'd like to see that. So a couple of films in the cinema at the moment I'd like to see. I haven't seen it yet, but have you watched the trailer for the next Avatar film?
Yes.
Any blue penises in it?
Not in the trailer, no.
Saving it for the film.
That's right. Gonna keep some surprises back.
Good. Yeah, so I need to watch that as well. It's going to be, is it four of those films or five or something?
Hell, another four coming. I think they might have done all the motion capture for all four already, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, that's a film that I went back to and watched with my kids, and they really enjoyed it.
I've got it on Blu-ray flipping twice.
Have you? Or did you forget that you already had it? But, you know, it was fun going back and watching Avatar. And again, you know, seeing these films, you know, with the kids and seeing their enjoyment makes me sort of enjoy it that little bit more again. Yeah. It's quite fun going. We watched The Matrix as well, you know, going back and watching that.
I watched two out of three recently. I keep meaning to watch I've rewatched one and two, and I've watched Resurrections. I keep meaning to watch Revolutions.
Yeah.
See if that makes a bit more sense this time around.
Yeah. I still haven't watched the newest Matrix film. Something I need to get to as well at some point. Yeah. Next cooking point, tips. Of course. No? Cooking tips. Yeah. Yes.
We've done gardening. Let's,
well, I mean, my
podcast.
both of my kids have actually cooked meals for the family recently, which is lovely. Oh, wow. Like, to have a day off from cooking is amazing.
Yeah.
So my youngest has made ramen twice, actually, which is pretty impressive. And when we went to Sicily, there's a dish called pasta alla norma, which is quite popular there.
Yeah.
And my eldest was inspired to find the recipe and make that. And it was delicious. Absolutely delicious. Yeah. So we have a Sicilian chef at work, and I told him all about it. And he was like, great, she can come and work in the kitchen. But if she won't, she's too young. But I mean, I had a job at her age. I've probably been working for 2 years at her age, illegally probably, but as kids. But I needed to earn some pocket money, John, and I needed to earn pocket money for things like Optimus Prime Lego.
Oh, yeah, I just saw this today.
Joe, I haven't checked out the price, but I know it's more than afford.
I haven't bothered looking at the price either.
It's going to be...
even transforms as well, doesn't it?
I haven't. I've literally just seen a picture of it. I've had a really busy day at work today, so I just haven't delved into any of the stories that I've seen today. But yeah, that today, what is it, the 11th of May,
yes,
has been announced, and I just saw a picture of it sort of standing up, and it's just, it's Lego are just bleeding us dry, aren't they?
They would be if I could afford to buy it, yes.
I mean, Lego is so expensive. It really seems excessively expensive. But I think it's always been expensive. I think perhaps we discussed this before as well. But if you look back at the price of Lego back in the day when we were young, and you take into account inflation and you know, whatever, you know, account for the years that have passed, Lego's always been fucking expensive. It just the sets now are even bigger and more complicated, and I think, you know, it just feels a lot more, you know, like a really much bigger strain on the wallet. But it does look impressive.
Yeah,
Lego Optimus Prime, and they've just released that Lego Land Speeder,
a UCS version. Yeah.
Is that, you bastards? It's just too much. Stop.
I know. I went to the Lego, our local Lego store, a week or so, 2 weeks ago, and I was just dribbling. You know, it's just
like, yeah.
You're outside, and there's the Titanic, and then you walk inside, and there's the Ultimate Collector Series DeLorean, and it's just like, stop it, please.
Yeah. Do you have to queue to get into your Lego store?
No.
No, well, I mean, I guess because our nearest one is the Leicester Square one, there's always a massive queue, which is always a good reason to go, do you know what, let's not go in this time.
it's like, I mean, I don't know, I've fallen in love with, you know, the new Lightyear film.
Oh yes,
from Pixar.
Yes,
which I was discussing with someone today. They're like, "What's this all about?" And it's like, "Well, I don't think they've made it clear, but I get the perception that Lightyear is like Andy's Star Wars."
Right. Okay, that's a good theory.
That's why Andy has got a Buzz Lightyear toy, because he's seen the film that's about to come out, and he's got the toys from it. I think that's the way it works, but I don't think the marketing has made that clear. Lego have already released some sets based on the film, and they've done Lightyear's spaceship, which I think is, you know what, I've fallen in love with it. It's a wonderful design.
Interesting.
In its Lego form, it's still £45.
Christ.
It's just like a one-man spaceship with an AI cat thing in the back. It's like, God.
I need to look at this. Hang on. Lego Lightyear spaceship.
I mean, I saw a thing on Twitter from the director. He said he always wanted to make a Lego spaceship with a yellow cockpit, and so he designed one for the film. Lego were going to license it.
Well, they always had the yellow cockpits, the Lego space.
There's something about Lego he wanted, and so they put it into the film, knowing that Lego would make it. I thought it was the cockpit. But yeah, my first Lego 80s spaceship.
I think you're right. It probably is the 80s space Lego always had a yellow cockpit, so that's probably what it means. Yeah, what it relates to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does look pretty cool. It's a little bit like a Viper from Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, I was saying to somebody the other day, and then unfortunately that person goes, "Sorry, I don't know what Vipers look like." So,
what sort of people are you hanging out with, John? These people, honestly, morons. Might have been a good friend, I'm sorry. But it's a bit like a cross between an X-Wing and a Viper in a way. I'm looking at it now. It looks pretty cool. I like it.
I mean, even like the engine exhaust on the back look cool.
Oh, I can't see a back view on there.
Oh, it looks good from all angles.
Oh, okay. I love it. Yeah, it does look cool. Yeah, the one I can see has got a cat in it. There's a cat on a laptop.
It's some kind of AI robot cat in it. For a companion in the film, so that's the cat in a toy.
Oh, that makes sense. Fair enough. Good. Yeah, obviously I haven't watched anything to do with that. I watched the trailer. I'm sure I watched the trailer, but maybe it just hasn't sunk in.
Two or three of them so far, I think.
I'm not watching as many trailers these days, I'll be honest.
They tend to give away a lot. It's disappointing.
I mean, there's that, but I'm just... I used to try and be across everything that was coming out pop culture wise. I just don't feel that pressure to do that anymore because I'm not writing about it. So I can actually quite happily not watch trailers and the film be a complete surprise when I go and watch it, which is kind of nice in a way. bad news for anyone that listens to this Morbius podcast. Well, that was bad though, wasn't it?
I don't know why Morbius. I just
that was not a good film, wasn't it? From what I heard,
apparently got slated. Yeah, but I mean, just for some reason, it's just like I just didn't have an interest in it. It's like, oh, another comic book movie about vampires. It's Jared Leto, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct.
Just like, for some reason, I'm like, I'm just not interested. It's just I don't know, maybe it's because it's Sony trying to jump on the, you know, Sony are trying to make films of any characters they've got hold of.
Yeah, I think they're sort of building up to like a Sinister Six type thing, aren't they, with Spider-Man? Introducing lots of villains that all team up and you know, form the Sinister Six, potentially. I mean, I might be wrong there, because I don't know if Morbius was a member of Sinister Six, but I was never really a big fan of the Spider-Man universe in comics. I didn't really ever like Spider-Man as a character until these most recent films, being completely honest. So I didn't pay that much attention to them. And I started watching Venom, and I haven't watched, it's called Carnage, isn't it? The second one.
Carnage, the second one, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched that either, which was also supposed to be pretty shit.
We love the first one, because what we liked the most about it was Eddie and Venom fighting amongst themselves.
Yeah,
so because they are sort of the same person. They're having this internal struggle between them, and we really enjoyed that aspect. We thought that was really funny. Then with Carnage, it's like, oh, here's someone else who's another Venom.
Venom and Carnage. Yeah, there's a post-credit scene at the end of Spider-Man No Way Home, which has Eddie Brock sat in a bar,
all right,
talking to to Venom, which I had to explain to the wife and kids. Like, who's that? Why is he talking to himself? Well, I'm not going to let the kids watch Venom.
It's not rated that highly, is it? As in age rating wise?
I have no idea, honestly. I just thought it was a little bit more violent, but I may be wrong. I don't know. Let's check. It's a 15 certificate, so I don't know.
Well, okay.
I mean, maybe my oldest would be all right. She's nearly 15. But yeah. Youngest is just 12. So I'm not sure. Not sure about that one. I might give it a watch, and then if it's okay, because we're not like super strict on the certifications for stuff for the kids. But also, I don't want to
trust my 12-year-old to watch Squid Games. It's like,
wow. Okay.
I know.
Okay. Fair enough. But I'm not precious about it. You know, when I was a kid, my parents had no concept of what was appropriate for children to watch on TV. So I watched all sorts of horrible things on TV with them. I can't remember what the film is called.
I watched Robocop at quite a young age.
I remember there was a film, is it Brazil or something, where there's a guy in a dentist chair. And they keep asking him, is it safe? Is it safe? And he doesn't know what to answer. He doesn't know whether to answer yes or no. And they just, there's this drill that just keeps getting closer and closer to his mouth. And I was about 5 when I watched that. Yeah, right. Stuck in my brain. I can't get that image out. Maybe that's why I'm not bothered by horror movies and I don't get scared by them, because I was just at a very young age desensitized to anything like that.
I remember watching Robocop at a very early age because my cousin just gave me a tape. He goes, here, watch this, you probably enjoy that. And I must have been, I don't know, maybe just after 10, 11, something like that. And he's giving me a copy of Robocop.
Yeah,
fell in love with it. This is fantastic.
Not the ITV version.
No, not the the happy, happy, joy, joy version, I used to call it.
So yeah, Lego are trying to fleece us. The Lego store in Leicester Square, which is my nearest one, is the M&M store, and This week I saw that Adidas putting out M&M sneakers. Now I think shoe collaborations have just, they're really tenuous right now, aren't they? There was a while I was really enthusiastic about them. You know, the Vans Nintendo ones were really cool. Even the Toy Story ones. Yeah, some of the PlayStation ones with Nike or whatever have been all right. The Alien Stompers for Reebok. There's been so many, but it really does feel a little bit like they're scraping the barrel now. So M&M themed sneakers from Adidas.
Yes.
I saw, was there another one? There was, it was like donut sprinkles, possibly Simpsons related on another pair of sneakers. Pokemon have been around literally every fucking brand there is, and I just saw Converse are releasing Pokemon sneakers, but they're literally just colored Converse with a character on the tongue, so it's not gaudy branding, but Jesus. It's just, there is so much of it, and it's just like, I don't know, it's if it's again saturation, far too much. But there must be a market for
A pair of Reebok trainers that are Ghostbusters themes, and someone said, because someone on Reddit, on the Ghostbusters Reddit, posted a picture saying, oh, I just picked up these, they're really nice and comfortable, and someone from the UK replied and went, yeah, but they're, you know, to get them in the UK they're 160 quid. It's like, fuck, I could never justify 160 quid on a pair of trainers. And then to make it even worse, they've got like a little plastic canister of like ectoplasm stuck to the back of the shoe. Correct, and there's like some red tubing that comes out near one of the lace holes, and it runs around to the back and connects up to the ectoplasm thing to make it all Ghostbusters themed. But all I can think of is like 160 quid. If I take those outside, the first thing I do is knock something and snap that plastic tube, all that plastic decoration off it.
Yeah, and you look like a tool.
But that as well, yeah.
I mean, there's been a couple of Ghostbusters shoe collaborations. They did one first with K-Swiss, that very unpopular brand that nobody wears. And they had Dan Aykroyd in the advert, and he was like fully endorsing these K-Swiss sneakers. But then, yeah, the Reebok ones that came out, they had a range. So there were some that were less gaudy. Those ones in particular were hideous. Yeah. But they had some that were less gaudy, like different, you know, more subtle designs. And I think there were two, they call them capsules. So like, you know, like a group of three types of shoes. And then they release another capsule with another three types of shoes all themed around something. Right. So they did a couple of drops on those. So, I mean, I'm sure you'll be listening. Ben has got a hideously large, I don't say hideously, he's got an incredibly large, a large collection of trainers, so a lot of Air Jordans and Nike trainers. And some of I can't remember what they're, Ben and Jerry's ones, I think, but he sort of buys these quite exclusive ones, and he doesn't wear most of them, or he'll wear them occasionally. So he's got, I think this was a lockdown thing for Ben. He just sort of went out and bought loads of sneakers and yeah, they're very nice. They don't fit adults because he's very small, but he's got a really nice collection of trainers. I love sort of sneaker culture. I can't justify, you know, the purchase of new trainers all the time. I like buying them. I sort of veer away from collaborations these days because I'm a little bit sick of them. The crossovers between shoe companies and brands or whatever, or pop culture things. But I really find the story of sneakers, like sneaker history, and I know sneakers snuck into the English vocabulary here. It's very much an Americanism. But I really enjoy that sneaker sort of history of it. So I've read a book called Shoe Dog, which is basically the story of Nike, how they came to be, the stories that go along with the development of that company, how they became a global like super brand. And I love the story of your Adidas and the Dassler brothers, who had a massive argument and ended up parting ways, taking two sides of the same town. One side, there's an Adidas factory. The other side, there's a Puma factory. Yeah. And there's literally,
oh my God,
people don't talk to each other from one side of the town to the other because of the rivalry between the two brands.
Well, that's mental.
And just, yeah, there's lots of stories here based around, Reebok, for example, a British brand. All these different sneaker brands, and I find that really fascinating. I love, there's a lot of podcasts out there. There was one on the BBC called Sneakonomics, which sort of told a different story, and it was like a dramatized story of trainers throughout the years. Yeah, at voice actors, and they recreated sort of things that happened. Yeah, it really has gone a little bit too far. Really, who cares that much about M&Ms that they want them on their trainers? I don't know. It's clearly a market for it, but it's not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, but like when those Nintendo vans came out, they weren't that expensive. I mean, the ones that I bought, I think they were 60 quid, which was sort of, that's a good chunk of money for a pair of trainers, but it's not excessive.
Ace.
But you know, nowadays, I think a similar collaboration, even with Vans, they'd be more like £100. So yeah, it's an expensive hobby, and you know, fair play to anyone that participates, but not really for me. New music, woohoo! I'm trying to cover a little bit of the music, you know, sort of feel bridge the gap a little bit, the void that's left by the lack of the unheardnerd.com. So I've got a couple of three. three songs that I've that I'm been or three musical releases that I've been rocking this week. So literally today there's a new single out from Too Many Teas. It's called Everything Will Be All Right. It's nice to believe that that's true.
This is jiggity hot fresh. Let's take a little walk. Slipper stickity sneaks. Yes, get tickled with the talk like a blibbity bleep test. Get tougher on the course as we level up and steadily consolidate the force. Nice to reinforce. You're flawless when you're born. Of course, you won the lottery. Gorgeous and all pure. But we mess it up with enemies. Most of them are thoughts. Cause you suffer more in metal than anywhere on this earth. So now's the damn time to bring it back. Rewind, refresh, retest, stress, get blessed and redefine. Your life's a game for playing. So play it like do or die. With a chilling chat and work and a sitting, just passing time. Elements to shine, you got them by the truckload, heavenly divine. It's just a damn fact, yo, impeccably refined. It takes a bit of time, so settle on the ride as we grow a damn backbone.
Too Many Teas, I saw them really early on in their career, actually. They were at a nerdcore gig in Streatham, and they're not a nerdcore act by any stretch of the imagination. But they were just sort of starting out as Too Many Teas way, way, way back. And I saw them and they were really fantastic. Like, you know, obviously started following what they were doing and kept up with what they've been doing. And it's really great that they've sort of grown and developed and become quite a well-known act. Their latest song was on BBC Introducing, which is sort of, I think, Six Music's introduction to new artists, new up-and-coming artists. So they're doing really, really well. Yeah. Like those guys, especially Leon Rimes, this Standaloft and Leon Rimes, two guys, and they bounce off of each other really, really well. But I especially like Leon, I've got a lot of time for him. The other one is also another British act, and actually sort of someone that sort of Craig and Keith know, are still not really sure how they kind of know, but Lazy Habits, rap outfit, sort of blend soul and sort of brass instruments with rap music. So new album out, it's called Vermilion Sands, worth a listen. It's a little bit, I thought the last album, Atrocity Exhibition, wasn't as good as their first self-titled album, but I think this third album's kind of gone back a little bit to the original sound, with that soul flavor that I mentioned before. So really, only listened to that through once, but I'm going to give that a few more listens.
Reprint, 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 stop. All sounds the same, sounds so nonsense. Slow down now, it'll soon be gone. But the future is now when my future is wrong. So it's back to the future for Connor, my son. No more Skynet, no more guns. It's switching the channels, I'm switching, I'm switching. I'm itching to rip off the panels and fix things. See, no more fake me, no more challenges. I'm all here, all stakes are rabbits. And I'm just at it, no more pullback, cause I just grab it. So please understand that I'm not that person that you think. I'm granite. Any outcomes, I plan it. I eat planets, I'm granite. But I can't remove all these bandages. My portraits are awkward. I'm born of assembly, bored of instructions. I've worn down my enemies, clone my disruptions. Alone with emotions, soon to be owned. I flip the switch to down drones. I eat and breed it.
And the song that I discovered most recently that has been my absolute earworm for the last week or two. I watch a YouTube channel and it's called The Charismatic Voice, and it's basically this woman, an American woman, and she's a professional opera singer. She's a classically trained opera singer and a vocal coach. And she basically listens to songs and videos, but mostly live performances of songs, and she analyzes the vocal talents of the singer. Oh, wow. So she's done a lot of grunge stuff, which is what really got me into the channel. So she's analysed Layne Staley from Alice in Chains, you know, Soundgarden, obviously, you know, Chris Cornell, Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam, Kurt Cobain, The Violent, so all the whole grunge, you know, thing. She's really done. She did a video recently for a band I'd never heard of before, and they're quite a fun, quite nerdy sort of comedy-ish band, and I did post about this on Twitter. It's a band called Electric Cool Boy and the song called Spaceman, so not to be confused with the Babylon Zoo song that was famous.
Spaceman,
exactly, perfect rendition.
Finchi Gagari, dreh die Boxen doch mal auf. Gestern noch im Trockenbau, heute bin ich Kosmonaut. Ja, ja, jeder kann sie sehen, da am Himmel weiße Streifen. Wer braucht von euch noch Beweise? Ja, die Erde ist eine Scheibe.
Mein Himmel ist ein Gau, why I'm traveling space? I'm gonna rock it on my bed, yeah, my bed, bed, bed. What the hell? My religion is rape, when I'm bringing down the other ones. So let me hear you say,
I'm a spaceman, got a rocket on my back. Spaceman, oh, I'm raving like a maniac. Spaceman, got a rocket on my back. The universe is down for my rape attack.
But it is, it's Euro rap, rave, pop, metal. It's the only way I can describe it. It's absolutely bonkers. It features a German rapper, so I don't understand anything of what he's rapping about. They've got two vocalists in the band. One is sings like really poppy, catchy choruses, and then the other guy absolutely growls and does all the harsh vocals, like metal vocals. and it's backed by sort of rave stroke metal music, and it's absolutely insane, and the chorus is catchy as hell, so I'm going to put a little bit of that into the podcast, like I did in the last show, sort of just putting clips of the music I was talking about, and that will be in your ears for weeks. I promise. But so fun. The video is really good as well, really good fun. So that's my recommended listening for this podcast.
I was going to chuck in, I discovered a Swedish metal band called Chaos Eon.
I saw you post about this.
Chaos Eon. They're only formed a couple of years ago, and they've already changed their lead singer for their second album. But I just keep listening to their second album again and again and again. I think it's because some of their tunes sound very much in the style of Korn, who I also love, with old style Korn. I think it's why I just keep pushing play on their album. I mean, the most popular song is Smile Again. They've got like a proper music video for it, but they're all like, you know, they're all like, you know, lunatic asylums singing the song, which is a little bit sort of cliche heavy metal stuff, but I've just been really enjoying it.
Check it out. So the name of the band again is?
I call them Chaos Eon, so it's the word chaos with E-U-N on the
edge. Sounds about right. Cool, I've just made a note of that. I'm going to listen to them while I go to sleep tonight.
That's right, help you drift off to sleep with that.
You'd be surprised. I can listen to anything and fall asleep. I used to listen to like really heavy, like Fear Factory. I used to have these huge speakers, massive amp. We've got 1 minute left of the podcast. And I used to play it really loud and I could sleep through it. Amazing. John, let's wrap it up.
Yes,
it's been a pleasure. 2 weeks' time, we'll be back with another show.
We will.
Until then, take care.
Bye, everyone. Bye.